he's actually a complete search genius. Sometimes suggest we could have him come here. He's like awesome. Speaks like 14 languages or something. Really. He used to teach. He used to teach. He was the head of the Semitic Department in Maryland for a while. And, okay. So, he used to give a lot of shirin, and he always said, and I like this idea, that sometimes it's good to start at the back of the book of the answer key. Because, you know, if you read the answer key, right, you know you have a math problem, so you read the answer key, you know for sure you're going to get the right answer. How you got there, the process is important, but sometimes you want to get the right answer. So we're going to do that now. So want to read this open article for me? A volunteer? Bakasha. Nicole Ronzak. Nicole. By the way, when you read for me, I prefer you read with drama. Okay? Not mumble quietly, but read it like you mean it.
There we go.
Okay, so first, when you daven, when you say, when we're talking also here, obviously, when we're talking about mitpalel, what specifically are we referring to? Shmona Esrei. We're not referring to things like Psukah Zimra and whatnot, although that is also important. In regard to Psukah Zimra, the issue here we're going to discuss whether or not you should say the Amida out loud or not out loud is not applicable to Psukah Zimra. As we know, everyone says that, you know, if they're common say out loud, Svarim and Beak say they audibly together, and we know that we mentioned the other day the Karlin or Chassidim are into screaming it. You know, Psukah Zimra, based on the pasuk in Yonah, the sailors would scream out there to be low. That's the basis for the. I used to have a friend who became from a pasuk in Leeds. Okay, fine. El mechatech hadvarim b'sfatav. But it's important, no matter what, for everybody, you have to actually mouth the words. Okay, you have to physically mouth the words. It's not sufficient just to, like, if you guys, I don't know if it happened to you, but when I was a kid and we took like a reading course teaching us how to read, right, it was like you didn't mouth the words, right? You can read faster, supposedly. I didn't do the research, but they claim you can read faster if you don't mouth the words, right? And they always make fun of certain people for mouthing the words when they're reading a book. So if you read a book, you're reading a novel or something, if you're not mouthing the words, you go faster. Fine. In Tfilah, that's not the case. In the Amidah, you have to mouth the words. Ooh. Mashmiya la'oznav. What does that mean? You have to say it loud enough to hear it.
Balachash.
What's balachash? Twilight. So it's almost like, you know, two steps forward, one step back. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch puts a kind of a restraint on that. You should say it out loud so you can hear it, but quietly.
Below.
And don't make your voice heard by others. Don't scream it out. There's a guy in my shul who was wanting to punch him. So he showed up to davening late, and he was davening out loud and cleanly Shmona Esrei during Kriyas Torah. I couldn't listen to Kriyas Torah on Shabbos. There's a new person in the community. I said, "Guy, you can't do that." I couldn't hear Kriyas Torah because he was saying, "You can't be that loud," saying what you're doing is actually usher on many counts, and I shouldn't suffer because you decided to come late to shul. Right? You know, but I didn't say anything to him because I'm a nice guy, but I thought, okay. Don't be that guy. Alright? Don't be that guy that when people are trying to listen to something, don't be the guy who decides to read along with the Balkara and read that loud so that you can't hear. Don't be that guy. The E may know.
Lagbiya.
Okay? If you can't have Kavana, you can raise your voice when? You did a great job. Keep going. Bahani Mili.
Bahani Mili. Benola Ben Atzma.
When can you raise your voice for Kavana? Medaling by yourself. You did it as a Kotel also. Okay? Because you shouldn't dial in yourself. Okay. We'll discuss it the Kotel. I find it crazy because you can't hear anything. Okay. Aval, but Sibor Asur. Why?
The Ati Lamitra Tzvura.
That's an important halacha. Right? That's a very important halacha. Is don't bug other people. Tirchot Tzibora, don't bug other people. It's not fair. It's everybody's there. Be considerate. Hagav,
Imashmiya Kola Bebeta, Shemit Pal, Kesh Yalam Dimimeno Pene, Beto,
I mean, you're not, it's the Ramah, you can say the tefillah out loud, what's Tor, say the tefillah out loud in order that your kids will pay attention, they'll listen, they'll dive, and you're training your little kids. Great. Upshot from here, according to Shulchan Aruch, what should you do when you say the Amidah? Anybody?
Whisper.
What?
Whisper.
Yeah, okay, whisper. You should say it loud enough for yourself to hear, but not everyone else. Ergo, you would think in synagogue you probably should hear a low. If you were a person visiting a synagogue, in theory you should hear a low hum. Not words you could necessarily make out, but you would hear something, not a pin drop, but perhaps like a low humming, a little bit because you know people are dying. Okay? That's theory. As we're going to discuss, we're going to see some locus between the Sephardim and Ashkenazim in regards to this, but that's certainly the way the Ashkenazim have. What's the source for this? I'm going to plow, okay? We go fast. What's the source? First of all, the idea of hearing to yourself in the Mishnah is mentioned in Shema. Why are we mentioned in Shema? Shema Yisrael, Shema Kem, Hashem Echad. Why would the Mishnah say that you should say Shema loud enough you can hear it? Why? Because it's Shema Yisrael! Right? Same thing I was mentioning, I was talking to people about sitting for Ashrei. So the Ram holds you're supposed to sit for Ashrei. And I have a whole like lumbus on that. It's my own personal lumbus. It might be right, might be wrong, but it's mine. So like, you know, I hold to my truth. But the simple thing for Ashrei is why should you sit during Ashrei?
Ashrei,
you're not sitting, you're not Yosrei Vitafa, right? So why are you standing up during Ashrei? Okay, fine. So Shema Yisrael, you're supposed to hear it. And by the way, the focus of Shema is where? Where are you focusing? What's Shema? What is Shema? It has another term for Shema Yisrael. What's it also called? Kabbalat Olmachut Shemayim. Who is supposed to be Kabbalat Olmachut Shemayim? Okay, fair enough. But you are. The person saying it is. It's not addressed to God. It's addressed to you. So of course you'd say it loud enough to hear. It's a kriya. Right? I'm making this kriya. When I was in school, I went to prep school. We just discussed that last year about getting SWATs. I never got SWATs. Okay? But I did get a salary suspension, which I work out on Sunday. But in any event, my school, I don't know why I mentioned that. That was like my train of thought just went away. Okay, I'll come back to me. If I went to a school, fine. So you should say Shema loud enough to hear because you're the one who asked me to cover Olmo Kuchamayim. It's inner focus, it's focused towards you, and therefore, you should hear it. Rabbi Yossi says, what happens if you didn't? Akara Shema, lo yishmei lo zna, yatsa. What's yatsa mean?
He's good for the mitzvah.
Right, b'di'evet. If you did it, post facto, you fulfilled your mitzvah, but that's not you're supposed to do. However, if you do, if you didn't hear it, you're okay. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yatsa, no. Rabbi Yossi says, no, the whole thing is inner focus. It's about you. If you don't hear it, so you're not Yotze. If you didn't say the credo out loud, my high school, we had an honor code. Yeah? Like UVA or whatever, we had an honor code. It talks every single, anyone else have an honor code in your schools?
Yeah, an honor code. We did.
So an honor code in every single paper we handed in, every single test that we took, we had to write, by honor, I promise not to cheat nor tolerate anyone who does. Every single paper, every single thing that we handed in, we had to make a pledge that we were not cheating or allowing anyone that we knew to cheat. We had an honor council. I once was an expert witness in computer science to an honor council. My friend gave something to someone else who copied the data of floppy disks. Okay, we can discuss that another time. Early cybersecurity. I was an expert witness in early cybersecurity. And then my friend Doug Ringel tried to pay off the judges at the honor council. He's now a patent lawyer, very well to be a patent lawyer in Washington. He got called in by the powers that be, and because he was whatever. And then they called him in. He was a joke. He like shook hands with the head of the honor council, a friend of ours, handed him a dollar bill. That was like a joke because he went honor council age 17. What can you do? He got called in. The headmaster of the school, we had a headmaster. They now use Jewish school, the headmasters too, right? So a headmaster, whatever, it's called the headmaster. We used to have a Pledge of Allegiance once a week in school on Mondays. And they called me in and they said, Doug, we heard you're the type of boy that sits down for the Pledge of Allegiance. Ooh, that was the early days of thought police, huh? He sat quickly. Okay, fine. The archetype of tefillah, although we have the tefillah of the Avos and the Avos of Tiknun, and we have those examples, but the Gemara is going to derive the many of the halachot, the basic halachot, from the case of Chana. Okay, the case of Chana in Shmuel over here. In the case of Chana, could someone really briefly, like in 3 sentences max, tell me the story of Chana and the birth of Shmuel? Somebody.
She didn't have a kid, so she got it.
Yep, that was good. 3 sentences. Boom. You are a computer science person. Okay. Did you learn Perl? Tim Toady? There's more than one way to do it? Okay. Fine. That was a good synopsis. Chana, but I will say it with more drama, more dramatically. Okay? If you've ever known, I don't know, you guys are young. You're younger than me, at least. That makes you young. I don't know if you've known people, women, or families who want to have children who couldn't have children. It's a horror. It is a horror. I remember when I was in Colab, someone was taking various pregnancy drugs, and they can mess your body up horribly. She was rushed out by an ambulance member to come take her. It was so horrible, right? Women who want to have children, or families, husbands, and wives who want to have children, and they can't have children, there are few personal crises greater than that. Because you see your whole body is fighting you. What's wrong with me as a human being? Can I really? That's why it's mentioned in Tanakh over and over again. This is a major point of crisis, right? So we know death, and we discussed in the last year, death is a major point of crisis. But not for the dead, right? The dead are dead, and the families go through crisis of not seeing, the parent dies. Freud once said, when his father passed away, he said, one of the greatest calamities of a boy's life, a man's life, is when his father passed away, he loses his moorings to the past, right? He has no connection to the past. So for a person who wants to have a child, or can't have a child, you have no future. And that's why it's so passionate. You see it in the Torah, you see it today. I tell you, I know women who it's devastating. She was devastated. She was devastated. She couldn't have a child. So you see the passion of her prayer. Go to Yud Gimel here. V'chana, she goes to the Beit HaMikdash. She goes to Shiloh. She goes into the Mishnah. V'chana, he would have bear it all be. And she's praying on her heart with all that passion. Rats bateha na'ot. Only her lips were moving. V'kolach lo yishamea. Her voice was unheard. Who could hear it? Who could have possibly heard it but didn't hear it?
Eli.
Eli, right? The prophet. Eli thought she was drunk. Can you imagine this woman? She's going and she's pouring her heart out. You know it. She could look like she's drunk, right? You can't hear anything. You see her at the Beit HaMikdash shaking, right? Shaking. You've ever seen someone. There are books written on it, psychological books written on it. There are rabbis I know who've written books on it, women rabbis who've written books on it. It's really hard. It's really, really tremendously psychologically devastating. And she was devastated. And she prays. But she prays the deepest of prayers. So we discussed death as a motivation. Here, this is childlessness, barren, a type of death for her. And she goes and prays, totally, full-fledged, evocative prayer from the depths of her heart. And she only moved her lips. So Chazal say, I think it's quite beautiful. It may be ironic, but it's quite beautiful. We learn from this woman who had this pristine, absolute prayer for the world, her world, right? We all know the mission in Sanhedrin that says if you kill someone, it's like killing an entire world. If you give birth to someone, it's like giving birth to the world. And if you can't, it's like it's stopped, it's stymied, right? And that's who she was. So Chazal learned ultimate prayer from this travail, a woman who couldn't see a future. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Hamnu, number 4. Kama Hilchata, Duberavuta, how many great halachot? Igla Mishra Mahani Krai Zachana, from these two Gimel Chana. Why? Let's go through the Pasuk. Vachana, Himra Beretz Al Liban, she spoke at her heart. Mekan Kolot, Sarim Shechabel Nibo, you have to have Kavana. Real prayer comes from your heart. Rak Svatea Naot, only her lips moved, but they didn't move. You have to utter the words, at least that you have to move your lips when you say them. The kolah lo yishamea, her voice was not heard. Lagbia kolo b'tfilato. Could someone translate those words for me? Lagbia kolo b'tfilato. What does that mean? Literally. Yeah.
raise your voice and daven.
To raise your voice. Now, we can understand raise your voice in a multiple number of ways. What could raise your voice possibly mean?
Screaming.
What? It could mean scream. Don't scream your tefillah. Such that you bother other people. Such that other people hear it. Alternatively, like to be a koach could also be. Well, it could be upset. Also, maybe even she can hear it. But let's see how the Gemara leaves it that way. According to this Gemara, are you supposed to hear it yourself or not? According to this Gemara in Bavli, number 4. Yes or no? Are you supposed to hear it? Look at it, number 4.
No.
No, what's the no? Spell it out.
No, you're not supposed to hear your own voice.
You're not? How do you see that? Where do you see it?
Because we're learning from Chana Bekola. It seems to say that, like, even she couldn't hear her voice.
So it could be her voice wasn't heard, right? The
voice it's
wasn't heard by whom, though?
Yeah, it could be someone else.
It could be by Ellie, or it could be by her.
Doesn't it say in the Tariyah Shiakavein Libo Rock Svatai?
Svatai Ane Oat?
Okay, like, doesn't that mean that, like, the enemy Khan is Balea Shiakhtov?
So you have to move your lips. You have to form the words.
Okay, and then lo yishma mikam. Okay, so then, yeah, I still think it's just by other people that it shouldn't be heard.
Okay, yeah.
In source 5, it talks about how.
Ring source 5, yeah, source 4. Yeah. I don't think it's clear. Personally, I don't think that the Bavli and Brachot there is clear on whether or not you're supposed to hear it yourself. Let's go now. You want to read 5? Which was 5? What's that mean? What's that mean?
Lack of belief.
For the whole thing. Comes to that. It's a whole.
Your voice name is Felix.
That's not a translation. Hamashmiya kolo. Let's translate literally. Hamashmiya. When it makes his voice heard. Okay? When it makes his voice heard in his prayer, this is Katmei Amunah. Okay? And we saw you're so. Then we go on. Amarav Huna. Lo shanu elishya kolo kavanas libo. We're only talking about if you can have kavana. Balakash, quietly. Lo inya kolo kavanas libo balakash. But if you can't have kavana quietly, mutar. You are allowed to raise your voice. Now raise your voice again. Raise your voice how loud? That you can only hear it, but really you shouldn't hear it, or the other people hear it. I think it's ambiguous. And in fact, what's the source for the fact if you raise your voice in tefillah, you're called katmei emunah? What's katmei emunah? Lacking faith. How do I know that you're lacking faith if you raise your voice? Yeah, what's their paradigm? Yeah?
It's like you're saying they stay quiet if they're not hearing.
Yeah, what's the example?
Eliyahu
Navi. What did he say in the Navi Baal, right? If you remember the whole story in Har Carmel, it might have been one of the greatest religious experiments, or one of the greatest failures, right? There's a lot to discuss with Eliyahu, whether or not Eliyahu was a success, or seemingly a lot of people want to say Eliyahu actually in many ways was a failure. So he has this pyrotechnics event. Literally a pyrotechnic event. We're going to set up some mizbachot. We're going to have 250 Nevi'ei Baal. These prophets from Baal are going to come, and they're going to put an animal on the mizbeach. Lonely me, I'll put an animal on the mizbeach. And we'll see. No, we won't light any fire. We'll see what God does. Right? And so they put it on the mizbeach, and they're davening, and they're praying, Baal, Baal, come put light to fire. Come on, Baal, light my fire. Right? They were, predecessors to the doors. Right? And then all of a sudden, what happens? Nothing. So they keep doing it. And what does he say to them? He can't hear you. Why don't you raise your voice? Maybe Baal's taking a walk. Maybe he's hard of hearing. Maybe if you scream, he'll hear you. That's the paradigm for the Gemara. Gemara says, if you're screaming, you assume that God can't hear you. So therefore, when it says, Mashmiya kolo b'tfilato, what does that mean? What does the word, what do the words Mashmiyah kolobit filatomin, if the example is what Eliyahu said to the Nevi'im.
That you don't think God will hear you.
So it means shouting your prayers.
Right.
Don't shout your prayers. Right? God can hear you. The cold is on the dock. Right? He doesn't need, you don't need to scream your prayers. Physical voices is not going to help God. Right? It's not going to make your prayer better. So again, I would argue that I think it's a little ambiguous. I think the Gemara is a little ambiguous. The Bavli, if you have to hear it or not. Raise your voice that you can't do, for sure. You shouldn't say your Amidah very loudly. Should you hear it or should you not hear it? I'm not sure. Right? I don't know if the Bavli really weighs in, but the Yerushalmi for sure weighs in. Let's do the Yerushalmi. Number 7, Tani, Palev lo yishmir ozno, Yatsa. Someone want to translate that for me? Essentially, it's introduced as if it were a Braita, because we don't have this Braita.
Exactly.
Based on Simcha. Someone want to translate it for me? Tani, Mipalel, lo yishmir ozno, Yatsa. I'll translate. Okay? Person who davens, as Shmona Esrei, and didn't say it loudly enough to hear it, yatsa. Again, what does yatsa mean? B'di'evet. Therefore, l'chachila, what is the best way to pray?
Hear your own words.
To hear your own words. So Yerushalmi understands that l'chachila, when you daven Shmoneh Esrei, you should say it loud enough to hear it. B'di'evet, if you don't hear it, it's okay. Says the Gemara l'mi nitzracha, why do I need to l'chachila? Rabbi Yossi? This comes to discount, to dissuade us from following Rabbi Yossi. Remember Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah? By the way, that Mishnah was talking about what?
Shema.
Rabbi Yossi said, Rabbi Yossi, how did it sound? In an akara Shema, lo yishmir, lo ozno, yatsa, Rabbi Yossi, omer, lo yatsa. Rabbi Yossi said, if you don't hear Shema, you didn't fulfill your mitzvah. Right? In regards to the Amidah, that's certainly not true. Probably Rabbi Yossi would agree. You know what I mean? If you don't hear it, you're still Yose, but l'chachila, the best way to pray is what? Can you show me? Hear it yourself. L'chachila, you have to hear it yourself. Great. Let's look at number 8 in the Tosefta. What is a Tosefta, by the way? Does someone remind me? What's Tosefta?
Collection of teachings by Tanaim that went out included.
Fair enough. Literally comes from Tosefta edition, right? It was a book that was edited by Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, son-in-law, Rabbi Chia, and the generation after Yehuda Nasi. It has a lot of parallels to the Mishnah. It's basically a book that parallels the Mishnah. Whether or not the Tosefta that we have is exactly Tosefta in the Bible, there's a little question. We're going to assume that it is for all intents and purposes. So we have that work. And this is what Tosefta says. Yacho yehei mashmiyah kolo b'tfilato. What does that mean? What does Yacho mean in like a midrashic sense? Yacho? What does Yachol mean in a midrashic sense? You said Yachol, da 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 da. What's it mean?
I would think,
hey, Mashmiah Kolo B'Tfilato. I would think you should what? Mashmiah Kolo B'Tfilato. Stay awake. Number 8. Nice and clear. I would think you should be Mashmiah Kolo. In your prayers, Perish Bachana, Bachana Yemeter Oliva. This is Bachana, she said quietly. According to Tosefta, what are you supposed to do or not supposed to do? Yeah.
Does he hear your voice?
Maybe, but is there another way to read that? Yeah.
There's another way around. He's saying you would think you have to hear yourself. You think you have to make your voice heard, but from the third point of learning that it's okay to just speak your heart.
So what about saying it? Could be. It could be as partly. It could be that you're not supposed to be mashmiya. What does mashmiya mean? Say it loud and other people hear. This Tosefta is a little ambiguous also. What's not ambiguous is the Erfurt manuscript. Anyone read the Erfurt manuscript? You know Erfurt? Erfurt? I didn't pronounce it. Anyone speak German here? Erfurt. How do you pronounce Erfurt?
Erfurt?
Yeah. The city Erfurt. Erfurt in Germany is a really famous city for one reason. You know why? The manuscript of the Tosefta. No one's heard of Erfurt, Germany, except that there's a famous in Jewish medieval studies. It's famous because there was a manuscript of Tosefta that was found there. Besides that, it's not really well known for beer or whatever, right? Nothing special at Erfurt. So in Erfurt, Germany, or however you pronounce it, in Erfurt, Germany, the manuscript says the following. Everyone pay attention, number 9. I would think you should say this feel loud enough. What?
hear.
For you to hear it. Kamash Malan, Kershka Kanash, Nimar Khan, Minabaras Vipa. This Tosafta is unambiguous. What does this Tosafta say? No! What's the Hava Mina?
That you should hear your own
tefillah. That you should hear your own tefillah. We learned from Chana. That you shouldn't hear your own tefillah. Someone explain the difference between Yisham and the Tosafta to me. The Tosafta, or for Manshut at least, which is, by the way, the one the Rosh was going to quote, other Rishon was going to quote. What's the difference between Yishamim versus the Tosefta? What does the Yishamim say? What does the Tosefta say? Yeah, Bakasha.
When he adds the word Leonav, he's making it more specific, what you're supposed to be hearing. Like your ears, basically, like for you to hear is very different than Mashmiya Kula of the Tfilato, because you don't know, that's ambiguous. You don't know if it's like what Ben said, or if it's like...
Well, you're comparing the two versions of Tosefta. Let me compare the Erfurt Manuscript, number 9, the Erfurt Manuscript of the Tosefta, to the Yerushalmi. What is the difference between the two? What does Yerushalmi say you're supposed to do? What does Yerushalmi say you're supposed to do? Hear yourself, the Chachila.
Yes.
What does the Erfurt Manuscript of the Tosefta say you're supposed to do? Not hear yourself, the Chachila. Yeah.
How do you know that according to your Shalom, you're supposed to hear yourself?
Because it says...
It says, Tani, Nikola, Vlashni, Alevno, Yatsa, meaning, for the Eved, if you only heard...
For the Eved, if you didn't hear it yourself, you're Yotze. Right? For the Eved, if you didn't hear it, you're Yotze. That implies that you should hear it. Right? And the Tosef's exact opposite. Yeah.
How do you know that the Tana story is a disproof of the
because it says, what Ben said, Minaber al-Liba. She only spoke to her heart, not out loud.
But how do we know? That's an interpretation.
Well, obviously, it's just after interpretation.
I don't get, like, what... There's no word that indicates... Does the word yachol mean, like, it's setting up for a rejection?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yachol in a Midrash Halakha sense is always either thought this, wrong, always. Or at least as far as I know, always. We say always is dangerous. Right? Never say always. Yeah.
Isn't one possible answer, like it says in the Pabli Source 5, that one source is talking about Yitzhak and one is talking about Tzivon?
So it could be, but that they don't say that. I would like them to say that. Okay, so it is seemingly we have a Machlokas Yishalmi Babi. Let's get it down, okay? Don't space out on me. This is good stuff. Machlokas Babi Yishalmi. Yishalmi says you should hear your tefillah. But you have it if you don't, you're Yotze. Tosefta says you should not hear your tefillah. But you have it if you did hear it, you're Yotze. Machlokas Yishalmi, Tosefta, the Bali, I would argue, is ambiguous. If that's the case, we have a knockout between two, if I want to be academic, Palestinian sources, right? Two Eretz Yisrael sources, right? How we pass him? Yishalmi, hear it. Tosefta, don't hear it. How are we posking? Yishalmi versus Tosefta. How should we posk it? You guys are posking. How are you posking?
Well,
let me know what the Bobby says. Bobby's ambiguous.
Tosefta.
Why the Tosefta?
Because
it came first. And we have a general rule, halakha kibatrei. The halakha follows the last, never the first. Okay, I'm going to try it again. You have a 50-50 chance. Let's try it again, okay? Machlokas Yishalmi versus the Tosefta. Yishalmi's later. How's your Paskin?
Yishalmi.
Why?
Okay.
It's later, okay? Yishalmi knew the Tosefta rejected it. That's a general rule. The way it usually works for Mariam is Tanim are facts, but facts are always open to interpretation. And in this case, Yishalmi either had a different version of Tosefta or just rejected Tosefta. It wasn't considered the halakha. It's not as authoritative for the Mishnah. Whatever reason it is, Yishalmi versus Tosefta. And that, by the way, where do we see that paskin? Nice and clearly. Who paskins that way? Yishalmi, you should hear it. As opposed to Tosefta, you shouldn't hear it. Who paskins that way? Well, that could be true. But what do we see? We have done around on that. We keep on going ahead. So what's it called? Like, you know, red expressions, 1 and 4, and that, right? Okay? The Shulchan! We saw the answer, he dies! Right? Shulchan says, how's he daven? Let me read it for you again. It's nice and clear in black and white. Loi klav libo levad el mechavtech adbar mishpata umas milo zah. Like whom? Hear the tefillah. Like whom?
Like
Yerushalmi. Thank you. Yeah? We're good? So far, so good? We could call it a day. That would be the shir, but that would be no fun. Right? That would be the whole thing, but that would be no fun. The Rambam also poskens that way, number 10. We don't have much time. I'm going to skip that. Look at number 11. The Torah, in the bold print, just points out what I said before, that the Gemara seems to be ambiguous. Maybe the word didan. What's didan mean? Number 11, dark print. What's didan mean?
So.
What?
So.
Shalani. Shalani, right? Say chatan danan, ar chatan. It's like very warm and fuzzy. You go to a wedding, it says that, and the tubit says chatan danan. Right? Okay, nice warm and fuzzy. Right? Danan is shalanu. Right? So the Gemara shalanu, according to the Torah, what is the Gemara shalanu? Where did the Torah live, by the way? That was a good guess. I mean, it's like, you know, as opposed to the 50-50 Yerushalmi Tosefta, which you guys blew, right? Anyone here buy a lottery ticket for the big mega whatever? You lost, didn't you? And that was like 1 in 5 card Bilchin, or whatever it was, right? Some guy won. We don't know who it is, but someone already asked me if I hit him up for money for Yeshiva, which if I knew who he was, I guess I would. You have like 10 countries possibilities, but we like cut it down.
Spain,
and that was, you know, so you they only had a 10% chance. Spain! Thank you, good, okay. Spain. Yaakov ben Asher, although he's Ashkenazi, his father was whom?
The Rush.
They moved from Germany to Spain. Mu'ba Gemara Didan, he's referring to Gemara Shalanu. What's Gemara Shalanu for the Ashkenazi man in Sephardim? At this time? The Bavli. So he's running around 1400. Gemara Didan, or a little earlier, sorry, about 1360. Gemara Didan, Eno Mima Et Elohashma Kolo, Dimash Shamshmi Kol Acherim. Our Gemara is ambiguous. It just says, don't say it loud enough for other people to hear. Well, Ostav Yacholashmiya. But to your own ears, you could hear. Mahakita Behek Yushami, but the Yushami is explicit, you should hear it. So, again, Bavli ambiguous. Beis Yosef thinks Bavli is more in his camp, but whatever. Number 12, Beis Yosef. Who are the Beis Yosef? Yosef Karo. Yosef Karo was living where, by the way, for fun? Where was he? Eretz Yisrael. He was living in Eretz Yisrael? What? Spot? He lived in Spot? I mean, he was born in Spain, moved to Turkey, and eventually to Eretz Yisrael. He wrote the Beis Yosef around when? Early 19th century? No.
1600?
No. 50, so around 50-55. Okay. Yefet. How do you want those centuries? Right? It had to be like after, you know. Okay. 55. Good. Yefet. 16th century. Okay. So in Beis Yosef, he quotes the Sukya, etc. If you go to the second to the last line before the break, it was the break and the second last line. Yeah? Come on, raise your hand. Okay. Look like you're peeking. You're peeking out. Okay, fine. Yeah, you guys with me? Yeah, you're awake? Okay, you gotta stay awake until we get to Zohar in a second. Rabbeinu for the big Yosef is whom? No, that was a good guess. The Tor is close. One generation off. The Tor, because he's a conqueror on the Tor. So whenever they refer to a rabbi, they refer to the Tor. Right? So Rabbeinu, he schemed the Divrei HaYerushalmi, which is what we saw. Which is the Gemara Didan, which he says seems to be the implication of our Gemara, although I would suggest that the Torah says it's not really clear. But Dr. Mayhem Divrei HaTosefta rejects the Tosefta. Why is he rejecting the Tosefta over the Yerushalmi? Why does he choose Yerushalmi over the Tosefta?
Because
Halacha Kabatre. We follow later authority. We follow Yerushalmi. Fine, over that. Dr. Mayhem Divrei Tosefta, Chen Ketiva, Yomani, Perkei, Vachen Halacha. And that's the lacha. And by the way, he follows that up with what? What else did Yosef Karo write? The Shulchan Aruch. And that's why Paskin's like, you show me, you should say davening loud enough to hear. Now comes the fun part. We have 10 minutes to do the fun part. Alright? That was like, if I give a shir, I used to give this shir, I've given this shir a few times, I love this shir, I think it's so fun. And whenever I do, I always say I'm going to pull a rabbit out of the hat. So we're about to pull a rabbit out of the hat, okay? Everything is good until the Bet HaKavai. Dun, dun, dun. The Beta Kabite. Who wrote the Beta Kabite on the video save?
Oh,
what?
Is it the Ra?
No, that's the Ra's way dead and buried and whatever. He'd have to come back from the dead and we have like a TV show about it. No. Who's who wrote the Beta Kabite on the video save? That's on the Raspa. What, who? It's himself. He wrote himself. Okay, it's the second edition. Is that what you said? Did you know what you said?
I said, yeah, Rob.
Okay, fine. So the Beta Kabite, Yosef Karas says the following. When Makom Makom has Zohar, whenever we say Zohar, it gets spooky. There's a spooky part of this year. That's why the magic trick. It's spooky. Okay? Makom Makom has Zohar, Shekatab, Kusim, Kuf Mem Aleph. Kuf Mem Aleph deals with Kriyat Torah. We'll get a chance, hopefully, maybe, a chance to come a little bit about that outside. Maskil Ladinre Ha Tosefta. The Zohar agrees with Tosefta. The Rahui Lachushla. Someone explain to me what the words Rahui Lachushla mean. What's Rahui?
Fitting.
It's fitting, appropriate, it's becoming Lachushla. To consider it. In other words, you should pass in like the Zohar and the Tosefta against whom?
Yisham.
Now, seemingly, most of the poskim say the Beta Kabite. So the Beta Kabite disagrees with Beit Yosef. They're the same person. Yosef Karas, seemingly, when we see that someone later on their book, writes a comment and disagrees with the earlier comment, what do we say?
An angel.
No, you have to say an angel. You can say something simpler than that.
He
changed his mind. Right. We don't have to become totally spooky. He changed his mind. Until he changed his mind. But then what happens in the Shulchan Aruch? So Shulchan Aruch, seemingly, he wrote later. Okay? He wrote after the Beta Kabite. So there's the first edition of Beit Yosef, where he posits like Yerushalmi, hear your tefillah. The second edition of Beit Yosef, he says, maybe don't hear your tefillah like the Zohar. And then, in the Shulchan Aruch, which came in the third, he goes back to the position of Beit Yosef, don't hear it. Now, those who know how to read the Shulchan Aruch know that sometimes there are poskim who say the Shulchan Aruch shouldn't be taken literally. The Shulchan Aruch is simply a code for the Beit Yosef, to remind me says the Beit Yosef. So I don't know. I actually don't know how he poskims then. It's not perfectly clear. He does what he says in the Shulchan Aruch. Listan, I would assume that's the lacha that he poskim like, even though I know the Beit Yosef and the Beta Kabite. But it's not clear. Quick sikum. Marchokos Yishalmi Tosefta. Yishalmi says, hear your Amida. Tosefta says, don't hear your Amida. The Zohar agrees with the Tosefta, don't hear your Amida. And the Shulchan Aruch seems to waffle. And the Beit Yosef, he agrees with Yishalmi, yes, you should hear your Amida. And then the Shulchan Aruch, he passes that way. But the Beta Kabite, the second edition of Beit Yosef, he says, worry about the Zohar. Quickly, Zohar, number 13. Let's read real fast. Okay? It's hard Aramaic, hard Zoharian Aramaic, which is a unique dialect. Ukita Salkut Salota. What's Salota? Tfila. Ad Halu Rakia, to that heaven, whatever this means. Ipaku Tresar Trayim, then 12 gates open. The Halu Rakia, in that heaven. Hai Tlota Salka, this Tfila goes up. Bitsaiti La Kol Inun, Da Akun Mare De Udnin. And it's heard by those who are called the Balios Nine. I don't know who the Balios Nine are. Angelic figures, carrying the tefillah to God, I'm not really sure. Behind Slota, this is the important part, the bold part, right? Which is the bold part in the Zohar? Is Bible bring Zohar? Mm-hmm. As a halachist, though. You know, the Zohar is a halachist. Behind Slota, Ishtamal Udin Barnash, if that feels heard by a person, late minded sight, Lalagila, then in heaven they won't hear his prayer. Okay? So the prayer gets one chance to be heard. Whoever hears it first defines the prayer. That's what Zohar says. The low type la achrim, and no one else will listen to it. Bar manashama bekat mita, except the first person who first heard it. The tefillah is in the world, it's defined by whoever hears it. Whenever I read the Zohar, I kind of think, anyone see the movie Contact? It's based on a novel by what's the name? Billions and Billions of Stars. Carl Sagan from Cornell. Anyone ever heard of the movie Contact? You ever heard of Carl Sagan?
Yeah.
The Great Astronomer?
Yeah.
Right? What? I don't know, a long time ago. I'm old. Right? Jodie Foster, they listen to whatever and they get a message. So, at the very beginning, the context of a fun movie. It's very interesting. Carl Sagan, one of my professors of computer science at Columbia, made fun of him because he made an error in the definition of primes, because he claimed the aliens were sending messages by using a series of prime numbers. So it's 1, 2, 3, 5, etc. The problem with that is 1's not a prime number. Right? So the computer science, astronomers don't know math. But okay, okay. Fine. Okay, so he thought it was really funny. In any event, the beginning of the movie, you see you're like on Earth in like some street, and you hear sounds, and they slowly move back out of Earth. That's like the camera moves back at Earth, and what do you hear? You still hear sounds. But which sounds do you hear? Think about it. What sounds do you hear as you go to space?
Nothing.
No. I mean, the waves are still there, right? If you can hear the waves, what waves do you hear? Older sounds. Right? Just like we know, the light that we're seeing stars is from all those generations away. The sound, too, the further you go back, so you're going back in time and sound. So if you can zip out of Earth, you hear old radio programs. Right? So the aliens send back a message by sending back the first internationally televised thing. You know what it was? A speech by Hitler. So they send back this message of a speech by Hitler. It's very off-sending when you think about it. When his sound continues to carry, right? The pictures continue to carry. We think it stops, but the waves are going. It might be about energy, or energy slowly drifts off, right? But they're there. So the Zohar says you can prevent them from going anywhere. Why? In the Zohar, the second bold line there. Begin kach, therefore, boili istamra, you should guard it. Lo yishmon l'hayit tzlota b'nei nasha, that a human should not hear the prayer. V'tu, and furthermore, demila d'tzlota, a word of prayer, afta ba'alma ilah, it unifies the upper heavens, umila d'alma ilah, lo yitzrih l'nishma. And a word of the heavenly world, of the internal world, doesn't need to be heard in the external world, the physical world. Okay? In other words, what? The second you take your tefillah and you make it not internal, not part of the heavenly world, you've burned it down and made it physical. We're physical beings, but tefillah is our spiritual opportunity, says the Zohar. And if you make your tefillah part of this world physically, you hold it down. You weigh it down. You burden it. And therefore, don't let a person hear it. Now, one might argue, what person shouldn't hear it? You might argue that, or another alternative, you might argue, who shouldn't hear it? Other people shouldn't hear it, but you yourself are the ones who created the prayer. So what's the difference if you hear it yourself? And indeed, that's the Magen Avraham. Number 14, Magen Avraham says, no, I don't agree with the Yosef Karo. You don't have to read the Zohar the way he does. The Zohar might mean, don't let anyone else hear it, just like Yerushalmi does. This, by the way, is a classic movie from Magen Avraham. Those of you who don't know, Avraham Gambin was the most important commentator in the 17th century on the Shulchan Aruch in Ashkenaz. He was Polish. And his commentary in Orach Chaim is considered fairly authoritative. And he says, no, I don't agree. It's a classic move of his. He knew the Zohar very well. He often will, Yosef Karo or someone else will quote the Zohar, and he says, no, the Zohar doesn't have to mean that. However, there are a number of poskim who certainly says the Zohar means that, including, let's go to the Birkei Yosef. What do we do? We have machlokes. Yerushalmi, Tosefta, I know what to do. Now I have machlokes. Yerushalmi, Tosefta, and Zohar, what do I do? The Magen Avraham says, that knows machlokes. Okay, we're not going to listen to him. We are. Ashkenazim are. We're going to pass him. The general Ashkenazi psak is like the Magen Avraham, is that the Gra, it's called the Mishabura, is that you should say your tefillah loud enough to hear yourself. However, not loud enough to bother people, but loud enough to hear yourself with tefillah. However, comes the Zohar, now let's look at Birkei Yosef. Birkei Yosef was written by the Chidai, he sent to Eretz Yisrael, number 16. Lin Halacha, he quotes the whole sugya, whatever. Lin Halacha, everyone 16, ready? Now this is a model. This is one of several models of the Sephardim Psak. Lina Laka Leharav Pri Chadash Dikidimash Metosefta VeZohar. The Pri Chadash Paskins like the Tosefta and Zohar. The Lichachila Lo Yashmilozna. Lechem Roilin Ho. And that's the Laka, he says. That's what you should do. Ukemosh Ketuv Marav Bedek Abayit. like Yosef Kara himself says, the Medica Bayit against himself in Shulchan Aruch. Shabui lachus gira zohar. But gamani shamati shaken katvu gure ha'ari. Who are gure ha'ari? What's a ger? What's a? He wrote a thing called the gur aryeh. Okay, that's his commentary on Rashi. Now, what's a gur? What's a gur? A gur of an ari. What's a gur of ari?
The lion cub.
Right. Who is the lion? Harizatzal, the ari. Right. The arizal. Right. It's the ari. What does ari stand for? His name was Rabbi Yitzchak Luria, so why is he called Ari? These are Eloki Rabbi Yitzchak, the divine Rabbi Yitzchak. Okay? The Arizal and the Gurei Ari are his Talmidim, Chaim Vital. Okay? His students quoted him as saying, the Lach is like the Zohar. So we have a machlokes between the Yerushalmi on one side and maybe the Bali versus the Tosefta, the Zohar, and seemingly the Shita of the Arizal, and comes the Pri Chadash, the Chidah, we'll see in a second, the Kaf V'Chaim, the Sephardi Poskim, and say, Yerizal wins. In regards to Halacha Machlokes, we follow that. Now, some of the even Kabbalistic Poskim say, as I quote here the Yosef Kara, number 15, that we have a Machlokes between the clear Gemara versus the Zohar, the Gemara wins. We have a Machlokes in Poskim, the Zohar wins. Okay, but here we have Yerushalmi, and despite that, the Sephardim say we pronounce against Yerushalmi in favor of the Zohar, and that's the dominant position of the Sephardic Pesach. Outside, I gave you a long commentary by the Kaf HaChaim, early 20th century poet from Baghdad, and when he quotes the Arizal, I'm going to tell you outside, he says the Lacha is like the Arizal said, of course. Okay, that's the dominant position in Sephardim. So therefore, in Ashkenazi shuls, you say loud enough for you to hear. In Sephardim shuls, you shouldn't hear it at all. So you're a pin drop, by the way. In Sephardim shuls, I often dive in, right next to my house, you can hear a pin drop. You cannot hear anything. In fact, they're crowdly mocking on not, this movie makers I'm like, all the time. They're crowdly mocking not to talk at all. They kill you. I'm always embarrassed as an Ashkenazi, because I have friends who go there to dive, and they yak the whole time. And the Sephardim are always shushing them, because they treat their big Knesset that it's supposed to be treated. I love davening there because it's Kamosh Tzarich. People aren't talking. Do not talk in too loud. So the Kaf HaChaim concludes, though, there's a problem. I had a student who was Sephardiyah, and I taught this year to her, and she called her father, and her father was a rabbi, passed away, unfortunately, a really brilliant man, wonderful person. And she called Dad that night after this year, and Dad said, of course, you're supposed to say it quietly. So she did. There's one problem with saying with saying it such that you do not hear it yourself. You know what that problem could be? Well, you know, like maybe. That's interesting. My daughter is doing that stuff. I have to ask her. There's another problem. It could be. As well as there's another problem. If you say your tefillah perfectly silently, such that you don't hear it, there's another danger. What's the danger? Kavana is a danger, yes. Is Kavana? Yes. I'm going to say something even better. Imagine. What's going to happen? You fall asleep. Right? So she starts falling asleep. And what happens if you fall asleep when you're davening, your amida? You could fall and die. Right? You could crash your head. You do all kinds of things, and you certainly ruined your amida. Right? So the Kaf HaChaim concludes, just we'll do this at the end, and the underlying section in tech, Mihu aims the El Adafun Mesharim or Orkotam, Kisiyah or Kisid. Interesting, that's a quote from Yeshayahu about the screaming to Baal. And the Kabkel and Ibrahim of Yishbah Orim, only if you are someone who has Minhagim of the Kabbalah. But for average people, they can't reach this level because they will lose a kavana, they'll start thinking about sports or their stock market crashing or whatever, or they'll pass out, they'll fall asleep and fall over. So just in conclusion, as we have Machlokes Yerushalmi versus Tosefta and the Kabbalah, should you say it loud enough or not? Ashkenaz and Poskim, yes, you should say it loud enough or not. The Kabbalah understands to be totally internal, theurgic event within the human being, and therefore you don't want anything to be heard outside. If it becomes physical at all, it disrupts the tefillah, and therefore the Kabbalists say you shouldn't say it out loud. Indeed, the Sephardim in general pass like the Kabbalists. But I think that a general trend is like the Kabbalah Chaim, that not everybody should do this because not everybody can do it. It's a very difficult practice to actually mouth the words properly when you start pronouncing them. To mouth them, you can accomplish that without straying your mind, the Kavanah issue is acting up, or falling asleep, as I pointed out, and my former student pointed out. So you see that there's a, in fact, you know, even within the Ashkenazi trend that understands the Tefillah in a more rational success, even the Kabbalists among the Ashkenazim, they try and argue that the Zohar would say it's okay, whereas the so they could fit it in, whereas the true Kabbalists would say, no, we don't want to disrupt our Tefillah. We're
going to
take a
10-minute
break.
Eminence, everyone's back.
Well, wasn't that fun? I love this dance. I find it fascinating.
You
know,
I thought you said you have to turn it to
figure out.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't have to catch your question. Top of my head, no. I've been asking myself.
I learned, you know, they're picked up against the